Well, good morning. If you would, turn in your Bible to Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53. My lesson today is titled, Why Did Jesus Have to Die? And there are a lot of ways you can answer this question. But Isaiah 53. Isaiah begins, Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our well-being fell upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have each turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he will bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death and was numbered with the transgressors and made intercession for the transgressors. Isaiah 53, 750 years before Jesus was born, speaks of the suffering and the death that he would die for humanity. And the question we're asking this morning is this: why did Jesus have to die? And in order to answer this question, we must understand three things. First of all, we need to understand the nature of God. Secondly, we need to understand the nature of sin. And third, we need to understand the nature of man. And so let's consider, first of all, the nature of God. And there are lots of verses that I could use. I'm only going to put up two. This is Deuteronomy 32:4. Moses writes, The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and just is he. And you can see the theme through this verse right here. God is a just God. There is no injustice in him. He is just. But also, 1 John 1:9, a beautiful New Testament verse, referred to it as the Christian spiritual bar of soap. So that whenever we go out and get dirty, this is how we get cleaned up. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And again, he brings out that God is just. You see, God is a just God. He is a righteous God. He always does what is just. He always does what is right, because that is his nature. To say that God is omnipotent and infinite is not to say that God can do anything. He is limited so that he can never act inconsistently with his nature. For example, we are told in Titus 1:2 that God cannot lie. It's not that God is incapable of forming a falsehood. but rather because God is a God of truth, and a lie would be inconsistent with his nature. Therefore, he cannot lie. And as he cannot lie, he cannot save a sinner at the expense of his holy and just nature. Because God is just, those who violate his law must be punished. God has no choice in the matter. Nahum 1:3 says, God will not at all acquit the wicked. Ezekiel 18:20 says, the soul that sins, it shall die. To do otherwise is to pervert justice. Imagine a judge who refused to punish wrongdoing. And every time some criminal went before him, he just released him because he didn't like the idea of punishing criminals who do wrong. And so a murderer walks in, he just says, hey, go home and have a good time. A thief comes in, he says, go home and have a good time, you know. And a child molester comes in, he says, hey, just go home and have a good time. Imagine a judge who would do that. You can't even conceive of a judge who would do that, because a judge's responsibility is to punish wrongdoing, to uphold justice. That is the purpose of a judge. And in God's justice system or judicial system, all sin and evil must be punished. And that's why the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. You see, we're all sinners, the Bible says. Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Isaiah says, and in the Hebrew, Isaiah 53:6 says, Kolano katzon ta'ina ish ladarko paninu Yahweh if giabo eid awon kolano. He begins with kolano and he ends with kolano. What does that mean? All of us, or each of us, that's the point. All of us, or each of us, has gone astray. There are no exceptions. That's what Isaiah is telling us. We are all sinners before God. There are no exemptions. Every human being stands guilty before God of having transgressed God's law. And the question is often asked, how can God punish mankind eternally in hell? I mean, after all, if God is a good God, if he's a loving God, how can he punish man eternally in hell? Well, here's the thing. God is not just loving and good. He is also just. And so you have to factor that in as well. And so God is a just God. The real question is not how can God punish man eternally in hell. The real question is how can God keep from punishing man eternally in hell. That's the real question that needs to be asked and answered. You see, God cannot look the other way. God cannot ignore sin. He cannot pretend that it didn't happen. Because he is a just God, he has no choice or alternative. He must punish all sin and wrongdoing. And so, in understanding why Jesus had to die, we have to understand the just nature of God. But we also need to understand the nature of sin. Sin is the transgression of the law. 1 John 3:4 says, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And so sin is the transgression of the law, but also sin is missing the mark. This is a definition we hear a lot. Paul says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's the idea of falling short. It's the idea, you've heard illustrations of an archer who pulls his bow back and aims at the target, but it falls just short of the target. Well, God gave man His law, a system of conduct, and none of us measured up. None of us hit the mark. Every one of us fell short of what God intended for our lives. But there is more to sin than missing the mark and lawless deeds. In fact, sin is the transgression of the creature against his creator. That is what sin is. David says, "Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." And so it's important that we understand this. And so, creating man, Pharaoh, Balaam, Saul, each said when they sinned, "I have sinned." But the returning prodigal said, "I have sinned against heaven." And David said, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." So here's the point. We don't see sin the way that we need to see sin until we see sin against God. That's what sin is. It's an offense of the creature against his creator. You see, every time we sin, it is a crime against God in his just nature. Sin is a violent rejection of God. And so God gave man his law, a system of conduct, and man said, in effect, I don't care what God says. I'm going to live as I please. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's what sin is. And because of sin, God has taken away man's right to live. And that's why the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul says, "And you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." He says, you're made alive now, and he tells them how in Christ that God forgave them and made them alive, but before they were forgiven in Christ, they were dead. They were dead in their trespasses and sins. And we understand that from Isaiah 59, 2, which says, our sin separates us from God. And that's what spiritual death is. It's being separated from God. James says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Physical death is when our spirit separates from the body. Spiritual death is when we are separated from God. When we sin against God, God takes away our right to live in His presence. And mankind is said to be dead spiritually. So because of man's sin and his trespasses, he is dead in his sin. But then, we need to also understand the nature of man. In Genesis chapter 2, when God created man, this is what God said to man. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will certainly die." And so man was given a choice. God said, hey, look, you can eat of all the trees of the garden. They're all yours. There's just one over here in the center of the garden. That one you cannot eat. But you can eat from all the others. Go for it. So man had a choice. He could choose to obey God or disobey God. But he had free will and he had a choice. And so it's important we understand that man has a free will. In our last lesson of Joshua last week, if you'll recall, we looked primarily at verses 14 and 15. You remember what Joshua said in verse 15? Choose you this day whom you will serve. And so, in other words, man has a choice. He can serve God or he can serve the gods of the nations, but he has a choice. It's important that we understand this. Man has a choice. So God created man with this free will. And this free will is a beautiful thing. And there's no way that we can have meaningful relationships without this thing we call free will. You can't have a meaningful relationship with a mate, with a child, or with the Creator. You have to have this thing we call free will. This is what enables us to truly love and experience deep relationships with people. But it also means that we can choose to rebel against God and be lost. And that is exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden, where man decided that he would rebel against God, where he would go against the command of God and do that which God said, do not do. And so here's the thing. Man cannot blame God for being lost. Man can only blame himself for the lost condition that he finds himself. So it's real important to understand why Jesus died, that we understand the nature of God, the nature of sin, and the nature of man. Now, I want to put it together because I want it to make sense. All right? But I just wanted to put that out there. We need to understand these concepts. And so in putting all of this together, Jesus had to die because of the nature of God, the nature of sin, and the nature of man. Man willfully chose to rebel against God, to sin. And as a result of his rebellion, God being a just God, a God who must punish evil and wrongdoing, had no choice or alternative than to take away man's right to live in his presence. God is a just God, had to do that. And I've used the illustration a minute ago, but I'll use it again. But, you know, if someone killed a member of your family and went before a judge, and the judge said, hey, I'm just going to let him go because I'm a good and loving judge, and I don't want to put anybody in prison, and I don't want anybody to be punished, and so, fella, you just go home and have a good life. You would be outraged by that. You would not be happy about that. You would be demanding that justice be carried out. You would be screaming it because that person does deserve justice. He does deserve to be punished. He does deserve to go to prison or to be executed, whatever penalty he is given. He deserves this. And so man deserves death. God is the giver of life, and God can take away life. He has that right. But God is not only just. The Bible says that God is also loving. And because God is loving, we read about God intervening on our behalf. God comes into our situation to rescue us from our sin. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans, the third chapter. Romans chapter 3. There are many texts we could look at. We could look at Ephesians 2 right now. We could look at Romans 5 right now. But I want us to look at Romans 3. In verse 23, the verse we've already looked at this morning, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Notice verse 24. Being justified, that's just as if you had not sinned. Notice, freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Did you hear what Paul said there? Let's read it again. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation. That word means sacrifice of atonement. All right? By His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness. Because in His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. To demonstrate at the present time His righteousness. That He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. And so when mankind was dead in his sin, there was no way out of this deadness. God intervened. God sent Jesus into the world. Jesus went to the cross. He was a sacrifice of atonement. He was a propitiation. And by His death on the cross, He paid the penalty for man's sin. And so God is just to let you go. God is just in not punishing you. How is He just in not punishing you? He is just in not punishing you because He punished Jesus in your place. Sin was punished. Sin was paid for. Justice demanded it. And so, rather than you and I having to die and be separated from God forever, Jesus came into the world and He died and He experienced separation from God. He experienced death on a cross, a death that we all deserved. And so it shows how God is just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. How can God keep from punishing us in hell eternally? Answer, by punishing Jesus in our place. That's the answer. That's how that happened. And that's the only way that that could happen. Why did Christ have to die? To fulfill the just requirements of God against sin. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus on the cross paid that price for us. And those who respond to the gospel can have their sins forgiven. That's the beautiful thing about the gospel. And that's why Paul says in Romans 1, verse 16 and 17, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." All mankind is in sin under the wrath of God. What man needs to have a relationship with God is righteousness, but man doesn't have any. So Jesus came, He lived a perfect life, never sinned, totally righteous, then offered Himself as a sacrifice to God. When we obey the gospel, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we confess with our mouth that He is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, when we repent of our sins, when we are buried with Him in the waters of baptism, God washes away our sins and He imputes to each one of us the righteousness of Jesus. And so we each stand before God righteous or just, and it's not a righteousness of our own. It's not a righteousness that we've achieved through a bunch of good actions or things that we've done in life. No, it is the love of God shown in Jesus Christ at the cross, which was predicted 750 years before Jesus Christ died. You see, God didn't ignore sin. He didn't turn His head and look the other way. He punished it, but He punished it in His Son, Jesus Christ. And so here's the reality. There is no good reason for anyone to be lost, for anyone to die and go to hell. If that happens, it happens because that's your choice. God has provided a Savior. He has provided a way out of our salvation, and it's in His Son, Jesus Christ. If you accept that, then great. But if you reject that, then you will be lost, and that will be on you. God says, I'm not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. That's the heart of God. So Isaiah begins with a question. Did you notice that? Did you notice the question that Isaiah began with? Who has believed our report? And then he goes on to tell us. Here's the question. Do you believe? Have you responded, if you believe, to the good news? Because you have to respond in order to be saved. Paul says, for by grace have we been saved through faith, that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, and not of works, lest anyone should boast. Salvation involves grace and faith. Grace was God acting in love, sent Jesus to die, pay the penalty for our sin. Faith is our response to that. If we believe the report, then faith demands we respond. That we respond by repenting of our sins, confessing with our mouth, and being buried with Him in the waters of baptism. If you've never done that, this morning you have an opportunity to do that. And we encourage you to respond to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you have any other need this morning, you need prayer or anything else that's going on in your life that you need help or prayer, we're here to assist you, and we want to assist you, and we urge you to come make that known while we stand together and sing.